Thank you so much, Shirley. Amen. Today is Easter Sunday, and it's the day we remember with joy the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can sum it up in two words. He won. He won and the devil lost. And there's so many wonderful aspects about the resurrection. That he defeated the devil, for example. He fulfilled all the prophecies that God had given. He will provide a new body for us. There's one aspect about the resurrection of Christ that has always fascinated me. And it's this. When Jesus rose from the dead, what kind of a body did he now have? I've read several interesting books on the subject, and I know I've preached on this and led Bible studies on this before, and the more I study it, the more I'm amazed at the profundity of this question. What kind of body did he have? And as we look at it today, we'll see what the Bible says. We are on the edge of a very deep mystery. You see, there's nothing quite like it anywhere else. It breaks all parallels. He brings in a new kind of existence. And we can say certain things according to what the Bible says. We will correct some false notions, but we can only go so far. And that's the way it is with Scripture. God tells us so much so that we can know the truth and know what is not the truth. But God hadn't revealed everything, so we're always on the verge of mystery. What do? When we're on the verge of mystery, we worship, we adore, we wonder with a profound sense of holy awe. And such is the case this morning. So let's get started. And we'll look at several verses in the Bible as we go along. The first point is this. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was a real, physical, material body. That's very important. It was material. It was composed of atoms and molecules. For example, when Jesus rose from the dead, Luke 24 says that he appeared to the apostles and they thought it was a spirit. And he says, no, give me some food. And he ate it and he said, you see that I have flesh and bone, not like a spirit. So Jesus had flesh and bone. It was physical. It was material. It had hair, organs, tissue. It was a real physical body. He was buried in a physical body. He was raised in a physical body. And he had the various elements of a physical body, such as blood. And unfortunately, there are some people who have some weird views about the resurrection. One of them says that when Jesus rose, oh yes, he had flesh and bone, but no more blood. And I say, what? And one Canadian anthropologist Christian wrote about this and said, no, Jesus made the atonement by shedding all of his blood. It was drained. And another one said that, well, the blood was collected and put on the altar up in heaven. So Jesus' resurrection body had no blood. That's weird. That's not what the Bible says. He still has blood and it has the same blood type. In fact, he has the same DNA code. He has the same fingerprints. He still has a physical body that is Jewish and male, but it still has blood. Then I read an even weirder view that says that since Jesus doesn't have to eat, he doesn't have internal organs either. And I said, what? Now, as you know, I sometimes go hunting deer, and when you shoot a deer, you field dress it. You take out its internal organs. Well, Jesus wasn't field dressed. He was still able to eat. How could a person say that and ignore what the Bible says? So he had blood. He had internal organs. He had hair. He had a physical body. The point is it was material. It was physical. In fact, it was tangible. That's evidence that something is physical. It can be touched. It's not smoke. It's not just, you know, something out there ethereal. When Jesus rose, he allowed people to touch him. Mary Magdalene touched him and hugged him, and Jesus finally had to say, stop holding me. And then it says in Matthew 28, verse 9, the women held him by the feet and worshipped him. And when Jesus appeared to Thomas, he says, "Thomas, stretch forth your hands and touch me." Jesus could be touched. He was touched because he was physical with a material body. And according to Luke 24, Jesus said, "You know, I eat to prove that I am not a ghost." Ghosts don't have physical bodies. Ghosts meaning spirits of the departed or angels or demons. They don't have physical bodies. They are not tangible. They don't have blood, flesh, bone, hair, and the rest of this. The Bible is very clear. He is not a ghost or a spirit. When he rose physically. Now, there are various groups that are not satisfied with this, so they propound other theories, such as the Jehovah's Witnesses. They say, no, Jesus didn't rise physically, but in a completely different kind of body that's not physical. And they're not quite sure, so they say, well, it's either like what the angels have, well, Jesus already exploded that, or they say his body was no longer physical, it was kind of like a gas or ether. It's not physical, it's just sort of ethereal. Well, that's not what the Bible says either. It's not smoke. Then another theory says, well, it's like this. Jesus now went back to what he had before he became a man. They say before he became a man at Christmas, back in eternity, Jesus was God. And the Bible says God is spirit. He doesn't have a physical body. Unless you happen to be a Mormon that says God does have a physical body. But that's not what the Bible says either. The Bible says God is spirit. So this theory says Jesus was eternally God, spirit, no body. Then he took on a body for 33 years, and in that body, he ate, drank, he slept, he was tempted, he was nailed to the cross, and he rose. But when he rose, he no longer needed the body because the body was only for the crucifixion. So they say he went back to being what he was before. That's not what the Bible says. When Jesus became a man, when he took on a physical body, it was a permanent union. So when he rose, he still has a physical body, and he does now 2,000 years later. He will 2,000 years, 2 million years from now. So it was not temporary, it was permanent. And he didn't leave it behind when he rose or when he went back to heaven. Nor, and here's another view that says, well, it's kind of like this. They say that we have a spirit inside of a body. And when we die, our spirit leaves and the body's in the grave. And our spirit goes to heaven. And they say, well, that's what it is with Jesus. That's the resurrection of Jesus. Is it now his existence is like the people that are in heaven now. They don't have a physical body yet. No, that's wrong too. Jesus had that sort of a spirit body between his death and his resurrection. But in effect, this view says there was no resurrection. The point is, Jesus did rise physically in a material body that could be touched. It was tangible. Now, there's another view that comes along. And I don't want to dwell on these too much, but I want to shoot them down one by one. This one says, well, Jesus rose in our memory. Just like we remember John Kennedy and Abraham Lincoln and great men and women of the past that died young or they were assassinated. They said, let's take our hats off and have a couple of moments of remembrance. And they live in our memory. And so does Jesus. No. The resurrection wasn't a mere memory. It was a miracle. It actually happened. Then another view says, well, it wasn't physical, it wasn't actual or even historical. It was what we would call an allegory. In other words, it's a nice idea to think that what Jesus believed and taught still continues, even though Jesus is still buried somewhere. You know, the ideals of Jesus continue. And there are liberal theologians say, that's the resurrection. Jesus lives not just in our memory, but in our ideals, that if we love one another and build a good society, that's the resurrection. That's not the resurrection. The Bible nowhere portrays that. And some say, well, it's kind of like spring after the winter. No. Spring after the winter points to the resurrection, but if there's no resurrection, it doesn't point to anything. Jesus did rise physically and historically. Now, here's another one that's clever. And you better be ready for some of these, because you might meet some skeptic that spins these at you, and you need to hit them like a ball out of the ballpark. And here's another one they'll try to strike you out with. And they say this: yes, Jesus rose in a body. But they say the New Testament says we are the body of Christ. The church, Christians, we are the body of Christ. And they'll even point out 1 Corinthians 6 and some other places. Yes, the Bible says we are the body of Christ. And they say that's the resurrection. No, that's confusing Easter and Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the church came into being. We are his body figuratively, not literally. The literal body of Christ did rise. We're not his literal body. We're his figurative body. He's our head. We are related to him like that. But we're not related to him physically, but spiritually. It's like communion. This little piece of bread here, we say this is the body of Christ. Not literally, though. Catholic Church says so. They say there's a hocus-pocus miracle, and that literally becomes the body of Christ and the blood. No, no, no. According to the Bible, this is just symbolic. So this isn't literally the body of Christ. In the same way, the church isn't literally the body of Christ. We are not the resurrection. So it was physical, according to the Bible. It was not less than physical, like these theories make it. It was physical, but it was more than physical. And that's what we're going to dwell on this morning. The glory of his resurrection body had new qualities added to it. And before the resurrection, Jesus could do miracles, but those were exceptional. They were unusual. But in his resurrection body, it's like an ongoing miracle. It's physical with these new spiritual qualities that just came natural for him. Turn with me to one verse in Luke 24. When you read the four Gospels, there's these amazing ways that Jesus appeared. For example, we've been going through the Gospel of John for quite a while. In the last few months, we've seen how when Jesus rose, it was amazing. People didn't recognize him. And then he appeared in a room where the doors were locked. How'd he get in? He went through the doors and the walls without opening them. Just like earlier on Easter morning, he came out of the grave clothes without having to take it off. He went through the walls of the tomb. He had this physical body that was now able to go through walls. Now look at this in Luke 24. This is a detail you may have missed. Here Jesus has been walking down the road to Emmaus with these two disciples, and they didn't recognize him. And then finally they come to a little place, and they sit down and they begin to eat. Verse 30 says, it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. What does that mean? He disappeared. Just like he could appear in a room out of nowhere, he could disappear out of a room out of nowhere. Now, this wasn't some trick. Jeff, this wasn't, you know, Houdini. You remember he could get out of safes and all those things? No, that's a trick. Or these so-called magicians today, they do these tricks. And you say, how did he do it? Well, it's just a trick. This was no trick. This was part of Christ's miraculous resurrection body, where he could appear out of nowhere and he could disappear again. And they could look for him and couldn't see him. Now, this wasn't dematerialization. He was still material, but somehow he could just disappear and they couldn't see him. They couldn't touch him. Where'd he go? Now we're on the edge of mystery like this. So he disappeared. Now, this isn't like the angels. You see, the angels in the Bible, they could appear and they could disappear. But what's the difference? Angels don't have physical bodies. From time to time, they appeared and looked like they had a physical body, and then they disappeared. But with Jesus' resurrection body, it was physical. And he could appear and he could disappear. And you say, how did he do it? I don't know. This is the mystery. He had these new capabilities, or to use a rather cheap science fiction analogy, some of you like the old Star Trek things. Jesus had a permanent cloaking device. What's that? He could, as it were, and people couldn't see him. They couldn't touch him. Where'd he go? And then, here I am. He had this ability to appear and disappear, and yet he was still physical. This is very deep. There's something else. We see that he also had power at will over all the laws of nature. Now, before his death, he walked on water and did these things extraordinarily as miracles. But when he rose, it became normal for him to transcend the laws of nature and to appear, disappear, and even transcend the law of gravity. And he said, what do you mean? He could fly? No, he didn't flap his arms, no. But he had power over the law of gravity at will. How do I know? How did he go back to heaven? It says that he went to a top of a mountain with the apostles. And it says there in Luke and in Acts that as he was talking with them, he was lifted up from them, went up into the sky, and a cloud overcovered him and they couldn't see him. He was lifted up. How did he do that? He had the ability to transcend the laws of gravity. And you could also extend that and say he could transcend all the other natural laws of gravity and of nature at will. Now turn to Mark's gospel and I'll show you another fascinating quality of his resurrection body. Mark 16. This is an interesting one. It's only mentioned here, but we see the examples of this in three other places. Mark 16. Verse 12, he's talking about the resurrection appearances. Verse 12 says, after that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. Now, that's what Luke 24 is talking about, that Jesus walking with these two men. But Mark adds this detail. He appeared in another form. What does that mean? Well, the word there means something like in another appearance. That's why they didn't recognize him. And they walked down the road talking with him about him. And they said, what are you talking about? And they said, well, we're talking about Jesus of Nazareth. And he's right there and they didn't recognize him. Why not? Because he had done something to change his countenance. They wouldn't recognize him. This is why Mary Magdalene didn't recognize him on Easter morning. When she's right there with, she thinks it's the gardener. And so he says, well, why are you weeping? Well, they've taken away Jesus. And that's Jesus she's talking to. She thought he was the gardener. Why? Jesus was able to change his countenance at will so that people didn't recognize him. Last week we looked at John chapter 21, the first 14 verses. There was Jesus on the shore, seven apostles in the boat, just 100 yards away. They didn't recognize it was Jesus. Why? Again, he changed his countenance so that nobody recognized him. Until the time was right. Now, it's hard to describe this. Some have said, well, maybe it's like this, that, you know, when we were real young, we looked a certain way, and then we grow older, some parts of our countenance stay the same, and other parts change. And, you know, you see somebody that you haven't seen in, let's say, 30, 40 years, you say, are you the same person or not? You say, there's something like you, but your countenance has changed. Jesus could change that instantaneously so nobody would recognize him. And then he could do it again like he did with Mary. And in a split second, she says, it is him. How come I didn't see him? Because he had this ability to change his countenance. Now, when we compare these gospel accounts with another part of the New Testament, we see him doing it in yet another way. How does Jesus look right now? Not the way he looked to Mary Magdalene, or the apostles, or the men on the road to Emmaus, or the 500 disciples. He looks completely different even now. His natural state now is described in Revelation 1. And in Revelation 1, John was up in heaven and saw him, and it says, his hair was white as snow, and his eyes were like fire, and he had this voice, it was deep, like a roaring river. That's his natural countenance now. But when Jesus appeared after the resurrection, he changed that so that he looked like just another person until they said, wait, it's Jesus. But his real countenance is filled with glory and splendor and bright light emanating from every aspect of his being. But he was able to alter that and he kind of cloaked it a little bit on earth so that they saw him in just one humbled way with some of the curtain drawn. Jesus had this ability to change his countenance so that he was not always recognized. But when Christians get to heaven, they automatically recognize him in his natural state. You see, the way God created the body of Jesus and glorified it in the resurrection was not just so that we could recognize it, but something else. Through Jesus, physically, we will now be able to see not just his humanity, but his deity. God is invisible, but God, through Jesus, took on a physical body so that through the body of Jesus, we are able to see God. He is the conduit, as it were, so that when we see him in heaven, his countenance and everything about him perfectly reveals the being of God. This is part of his glorification. What else about his new body? Still physical, but it had these new capabilities. And one of them that the Bible particularly draws our attention to is immortality. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15 because this is the recurring theme of that great chapter. It goes from talking about his body to our bodies one day. It's immortal. And it's different than what he had before. You say, well, wasn't Jesus always immortal? No, he wasn't. Immortal means incapable of dying. Before the crucifixion, was Jesus capable of dying? Yes, because he did die. He was capable of feeling pain, not just feeling things and people feeling him. It was physical, but he took on a body that was capable of pain and death. And he did die. And when he rose physically, but there was a change. Before he rose, he could feel pain. Now he could not feel pain. Before he could die, after he rose, he could not die. Think about this. No pain. Before the cross, Jesus felt pain. And we went through that in quite a bit of detail a few months ago when they tortured him. And they whipped him and they nailed him to a cross. You know that hurt. The agony of that, the nails in the hands and the scourging and all the pain he went through in that mortal body. But no more. When he rose from the dead, he was now incapable of pain. And I like to put it like this in a very serious way, so don't laugh. But when he arose, he could not feel pain. Only pleasure. So if somebody had said, if some Romans had said, we're going to nail you back on the cross, he would say, go ahead. It wouldn't have hurt. Probably would have just tickled. He said, that tickles, you know, it doesn't hurt anymore. Or if they would have stabbed him with that sword again, he would have said, try it again. Try it over here. It doesn't hurt. If they would have shot bullets at him, it would have bounced off him like Superman. Incapable of pain. If they would say, well, how do you kill the man? Well, I'll tell you what, we'll stoke the fire over here, this blast furnace, and we'll throw him in there. Jesus would have walked around and said, oh, it feels good, like a campfire on a cold winter's night. He was incapable of feeling pain. But most of all, he was incapable of dying. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 15. I'll just point out a few select verses. Verse 35 says, someone will say, how are the dead raised, and with what kind of body do they come? And the answer is, well, they come in the same body that Jesus had when he came out of the dead. Skip down to verse 40. Paul says, well, there are different kinds of bodies. There are celestial bodies and they're terrestrial. Some of you are already looking at the notes in your study Bibles. What do those words mean? Terrestrial? Celestial? Celestial means heavenly, like the angels, and terrestrial means earthly, like we have. By the way, our bodies are not like the angels. Our bodies are more like the animals. They're physical. They reproduce. They feel pain and so forth. So there's heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. And what's the difference? Well, earthly bodies are fit for earth. We feel the pull of gravity. We have to eat. We feel pain. We are fit for earth. Heavenly bodies are fit for heaven. Now, the angels have one kind of celestial body. They don't need a physical body. They don't need to reproduce. They have a spirit body. But others in heaven have a different kind of celestial body. That's what Jesus has. That's what we will have. And it'll be physical, but with these new capabilities, I guess what I'm saying is, just like our physical bodies make us fit for living on earth, the body Jesus had and we will have makes us fit for heaven, because heaven is so much more than just simply our physical existence here on earth. Look at verse 43. The physical body is sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. It's sown like a seed in the ground in weakness. It's raised in power. Now, this would apply to Christ. When Christ was crucified on the cross, it was dishonor. It was disgraceful. And in weakness. He submitted. He didn't fight back, even though he could have. He says, I submit. And he took the pain. And that's like our bodies, that when we die, it's put in the ground in dishonor and in weakness. But then verse 44 says, it's sown a natural, that is a physical body fit for earth, but it's raised a spiritual body. Now, this has given rise to considerable misunderstanding, this verse here. That's why some say when Jesus was raised, it was no longer a natural body. It was no longer physical. No, that's not what it means. Notice the word body applies both ways. Natural body, physical body. Body means flesh, blood, bones. But before the resurrection, Jesus' body was a natural body that could die, feel pain, it was subject to gravity and all these other things because it was suitable for earth. But when it was raised, though it was still a body that was physical, now it has been transformed with new qualities, not so much fit for earth, but fit for heaven. And so when Jesus was on earth for those 40 days, it was temporary as he was on his way back to heaven. Then skip down to verse 50. Paul says, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Now, some have looked at that and said, well, that proves that flesh and blood cannot go to heaven. So when Jesus rose, he couldn't go back to heaven with a body of flesh and blood. So therefore, it's only spiritual, no body, no physical. It's only like an angel. That's not what it says here. In the context, what he's saying is something like mere flesh and blood, like we have, is not fit for heaven. It has to be transformed. And for us, that means it dies, it's raised, and it's glorified. Jesus died. He was raised. He was glorified and transformed so that now his flesh and blood and bone is now transformed and is now fit to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Lastly, on this point, look at verses 52 and following. Just like we will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, it says, be raised incorruptible. We will be changed. Just like Christ was changed. Corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal puts on immortality. What he's saying is, what characterizes the resurrection body is incorruption and immortality. Immortality means it cannot die. Incorruption means it cannot feel pain. It will not decrease, disintegrate. It's perfect. It's a perfect body with no signs of corruption in it. Now, what else can we say about his glorified body? Well, he had the capability of appearing, disappearing, and being recognized and not being recognized. But remember one significant detail we looked at 2 weeks ago? And this is what really caught Thomas's eye. He said, you say he's raised again with these scars. I want to touch him. I want to see him. And when Jesus was raised in the glorified body, he still had the sacred scars on his hands, on his feet, and on his side. And brethren, he still does. And he's the only one that has marks of humiliation from back here on earth. When we get to heaven, we don't have that. He is the only one that has scars still in heaven. Why? They are the eternal trophies of his sacrificial love for us. Now, it's important to remember that it's physical. It's like Philippians 2 says he came down and down, down, all the way to the cross, all the way to the tomb. And then it reversed itself, and now it's up, up, up. So he was raised, And he kept getting raised. He was raised up and he was glorified with these new capabilities, still physical, but with these new things. Now, why do I say this? There are those that make it less than physical, but there are those that don't want to say that it's more than physical. And unfortunately, some well-meaning evangelicals kind of put the brakes on here. And they say there was no difference in his resurrection body than what it was before. And so they say if we start saying these extra qualities, they think we're saying it's like an angel. No, we're not saying that. It had these new capabilities, so there were some differences, some changes. Now, this view here isn't really heretical. I just don't believe it goes far enough. It can't account for these new qualities we've just seen right there in the Bible. Appearing, disappearing, changing countenance, law of gravity. It can't account for that. There are some changes in the body of Christ. Well, one writer on this theory says, no, there's no changes whatsoever in the body of Jesus. And he kind of shows his own ignorance when he has to explain how Jesus could go through the walls. And the man said, well, you know, it could be like this. You know, after all, a physical body is mainly just air. Scientists have said, you know, there are atoms and molecules, but there's this vast empty space in between. So he said, theoretically, Jesus could just simply rearrange his molecules and go through the door without a miracle. Now, if you want to laugh at that, be my guest, because I laugh at that too and say, well, you try walking through a door and not make it a miracle. Of course it was a miracle. It was an ongoing miracle. So this view here doesn't go far enough. Yes, it's physical, but not, they don't see that it's more, but it is more. Now, there's another view that's not heretical, but again, doesn't go far enough. And this is the view that basically our Lutheran friends hold. You say, well, what do they hold? They believe it's physical. And when Jesus was raised, they say it's like what he had before. But these new qualities were given to him, not in the resurrection, but in the ascension. When he went back to heaven, now he's got these new qualities. But what about the examples we've already seen? Mark 16, Matthew 28, Luke 24. No, he had the new qualities in the resurrection, not just in the ascension. Well, here's another one. Now, you'll have to follow this closely. Remember I said that there are people that say that it's like he didn't have a body, and then he had a body, and then he went back to not having a body. That's not what it says. But there's another chronological order that's very important to remember. Adam and Eve, they were the first people that were created, and they had a physical body. And then they sinned. And something happened to their bodies. There was a change that produced mortality and corruption. And so this theory says, well, for 33 years, Jesus had a body like ours. And then after the resurrection, Christ's body was like Adam's before the fall. They missed the point. No, it's not like that. Adam, before the fall, could feel pain and could die because he did die. When Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't have a body not like Adam had before the fall. No, no. He had new qualities that even Adam didn't have, that Adam could never have dreamed of. And this fits in with the plan of salvation. Friends, when God saves us, he just didn't put us back in the Garden of Eden on temporary probation like Adam and Eve with a body like that. No. When he saves us, he gives us more than what Adam lost. Christ, when he rose, had capabilities beyond what Adam ever had. And that's what we have as well. Augustine put it like this. The first immortality which Adam lost by sinning was being able not to die. But the last, Jesus, will be the impossibility of being able to die. Well, we've looked at just some of the wonderful qualities of the resurrection body of Christ. And believe me, there's more. We don't have time to go into them all. And I could also say there are probably more that God has not chosen to reveal to us. God hadn't revealed everything about heaven. The body of Jesus is more fit for heaven than it is for earth. And so Jesus showed us just some of the qualities of heaven. He hadn't showed them all to us. He's shown us enough so that we can share in his victory and something else. And this is the practical application of this message. The point is this. God will give to Christians the same kind of body Jesus had when he rose from the dead. Turn with me for our last scripture today to Philippians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven. In other words, that's where we belong, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform, he will change our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. What's Paul saying? When Christ was raised from the dead, physically, he was also changed, transformed, given new qualities. And you say, that's wonderful, but what about us? What about when we die? Ah, God says, you share in all of his blessings. You get to go to heaven with him. You get the same kind of body that he had when he was raised from the dead. 1 John 3:2 says, we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Now, there's one difference. We won't be divine like Jesus. We do not become gods or goddesses. He alone is God. But other than that, we get bodies like his. Incorruptible, immortal, no pain, all these other things that we have just described. It'll be physical, material. You'll still have the same DNA code. Gary, you'll still have the same fingerprints. You'll have the same blood type. You men will still be men. Women will still be women. You'll still be physical. Remember, Jesus' body was incapable of feeling pain. Boy, that's going to be good. No more pain in heaven. And some of you say, oh, won't that be wonderful? No more arthritis, backache, headache, stomachache. No more afflictions. They'll all end when you die. And your new body will be incapable of pain. Incapable of death. In fact, it's incapable of fatigue. The Bible says there's no need to sleep when we get to heaven. We sleep because we get tired. But in heaven, there's no need to sleep. New bodies, no fatigue. It'll be recognizable. Jesus could change his countenance. And our countenance will be better than we've ever imagined. Better than we were when we were younger, with no more scars. Everything about our countenance will be beautiful. One difference is that we won't have scars, but Jesus will. We will not have our present afflictions. Won't that be wonderful? To think that the things that we struggle with now, surely there'll be no more pain in your hands. And there'll be no more arthritis for quite a few of us here. And I think of some of our elderly now. They're on the verge. And when they get there in the new bodies, it'll be instantly transformed. Think of it, brethren. Perfect bodies one day, just like the Lord Jesus. No glasses, wheelchairs, walkers. Sometimes people say, well, will we be able to eat in these new physical bodies? Well, Jesus ate. We'll be able to eat. But we don't have to eat to satisfy our hunger, because Revelation 7:16 says, they shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. We can eat and drink if we want, but we don't have to sustain life. Bible says Christ's body was glorified. Look at the verse again. It may be conformed to his glorious body, meaning it was sinless and radiated with glory. The Bible says that when Christians get new bodies, it radiates glory. It says that it shines as bright as the sun, and it's glorified. No more sin. Just like those angels that appeared at Christ's resurrection with bright light, our bodies will radiate with the very glory of God. And it also says, lastly, in 1 Corinthians 15, we will be raised in power. And you remember Jesus exercised that power over gravity and going through walls. We'll be able to do that. We will not be a body of weakness subject to the laws of this universe as it is now. But in the transformed universe we will fit in, we will, as it were, be over the laws of nature in this ongoing miraculous body. We can move around freely anywhere we want to. We will not be hindered by it. We will not be weak by it. We will be strong and do whatever we want to for the glory of God. Brethren, this is a wonderful gift that we will share in the physical glorification that Christ had. And this is the blessing for all Christians, but only for Christians. You see, the same Bible says Jesus had this body. Christians will have it, but not non-Christians. You see, this is a blessing God gives to His children, not to those that stay His enemies. In fact, the Bible says, oh, they get bodies again, but not like these. Not beautiful, ugly. Not with no sin. Their bodies will be filled with sin and all the effects of sin. Not like our bodies that will be never dying. The bodies of the lost will be ever dying. The bodies of believers will be incapable of pain and will feel only pleasure. But the bodies of unbelievers will be raised, and all they will feel will be pleasure, will be pain and no pleasure. And on it goes like that. The point is this, brethren. In the work of Christ, Christ now offers these blessings. He says, now, this is what I offer to you as part of the blessings of salvation. There's forgiveness of sins and knowing God and peace and joy. And think of this extra blessing. He says, on top of all that, I give you a new physical body with these capabilities. That's kind of like the icing on the cake. And then you think, but if you don't take that, what is left? That's the choice. Now, it's like when God says, why will you die? Why will you pass up eternal life and go for eternal death? If you are an unbeliever, if you're still in your sins, we plead with you, take this gift. It is offered to you freely in Christ. Why in the world would anybody say, I don't want that perfect body. I don't want all that. I want my sinful body. If that's what you want, that's what you will get. But only a madman would make that kind of a choice. You'd say, I want this and not that. But to get the blessed, glorified body, you have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And in believing in Him, you get all of His blessings, including this physical resurrection. Brethren, we can thank God for this great hope and promise that's been given to us. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. You could add to that, because I live like this, He says, you will live like this also. We will share in His resurrection and in a resurrection body like His. And that's part of the great victory and celebration of Easter. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that the Lord Jesus has made this possible. And though we are on the verge of mystery, it entices us to look forward to it all the more. Thank you that He rose and was glorified and has given us the privilege of sharing in that victory. And part of that is sharing in that kind of a body one day. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for making it possible. In your holy name, we pray. Amen.